So, what are we going to do tonight, Brian?
Same thing we do every night, Pinky. Listen to the Bob Culture Podcast.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Bob Culture Podcast, and I am very excited to have two very good friends right next to me here. It's been a while. These guys have very busy schedules, so I managed to track them down, get them in the Crother Mansion here with me, and we're ready to go. Ladies and gentlemen, you've seen these guys all over the local scene in a ton of bands, including, of course, the likes of the popular, the great rock and roll Time Machine. Of course, we got for Big Tom and the Guns, Mr. Jimmy Franklin. Jimmy, what's up, bro? How are you?
It's going great, man. It's great to see you.
Yeah, you too, man. We're already having like a pre-podcast before we start having some conversations.
Should've been
recording already. I know, really. That'll be for next week for sure. And of course, from the likes of Blacktooth Grin, Johnny B. Morbid, and many, many, many more, my good friend, Mr. Brian Morelli. Brian, what's up, bro?
What's going on, man? Thanks for having us today. This is awesome.
No, this is awesome. Yeah, we're already chit-chatting here about the scene and the music industry and all this good stuff. So I'm honored to be in the room with you guys. I appreciate a few minutes, guys. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
All right, so I know there's a million answers to this question, but what have you guys been up to lately? You got lots of bands going on. You just put out that Christmas song that we'll get to. What's going on in the world of Brian Morelli and Jimmy Franklin right now?
Oh, geez.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. It's a lot of music all
good
the time.
Answer.
That's the thing. It is a lot of music. Brian's in, as you said before, in a ton of bands. I've been involved in a ton of bands as well. If you know, like right now, Brian, how many bands are you currently playing for?
I had pared it down to like two.
But, besides the ones that we're in together.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then other things kind of got kicked up again and more active, where at one point they were dormant. So it's kind of like five now.
Yeah. Dude, I gotta ask you, like, you know, I've kind of become one of those people that kind of overextends myself a little bit with like writing and podcasting and the band and work and all that stuff. But it's paying off. Like, I like it. You know, it's a lot of work. It's paying off. How do you guys find the time, especially you, Brian? Like, you know, you work hard and you got all these bands. How do you make it work?
Oh, gosh. I've said to people, because people have asked that, it's when you love it, you get your ass out of bed. And not to get all meta about it.
No, I get it.
You know, in loving the full-time radio gig at WKMK and everything and loving playing music, sometimes those worlds collide and it's not pretty. Sometimes you have to cancel certain plans, but you adapt. And if you love it, you just go for it.
Yeah. I can see Brian's very passionate about it. He's got a big smile on his face when he's talking about it. And I've known Brian from a long time ago back at Monmouth University.
Yes.
When we came out on his Vection, we crossed paths with Brian. I met him. We loved him right away. He's always been very good to us. So we appreciate it, man.
Oh, thanks.
Always good. So now, Jimmy Franklin, you know, as I cyberstalk you guys, I see you're playing with Holiday Express. Tell us a little bit about that. That seemed kind of like a cool thing.
Yeah, man. It's really intense. The not just the amount of shows or the like the content of the shows, but where we're playing and what we're doing. I really underestimated it. I'm not going to lie. I got involved late. It was in October. The show started in November. There were only two rehearsals and there are 100 shows. From November 4th to December 24th.
Wow.
Yeah. And there's, I think, 150 musicians that cycle in and out. And they, you know, they kind of just throw us all on different buses and send us to different locations. And we're playing at, you know, we're playing at some places that no one wants to play. We're playing children's hospitals. We're playing severely disabled, you know, schools for severely disabled children and
good
adults.
For you, man.
We're playing drug rehab facilities. It's really intense.
That's cool. The people appreciate it.
Oh my God. Yeah. And they love it. And these places, they don't get anything, man. And it's one of the things they look forward to. We get people coming up to us, you know, saying that they saw, you know, us last year. And of course it's led by Tim McClune, and you know, they come up to him and it's his company. It's his, his whole, it's his Disneyland in a way.
Yeah, yeah, it's really cool.
Yeah, and we have a lot of characters that make appearances. Santa Claus comes in at the end, and no matter what age you are, the people just go nuts. I've seen little kids freak out, and I've seen large tattooed, you know, recovering addicts
Santa, man.
Freak out over, you know, at these parties that we're just throwing in these facilities. And so,
That's awesome. That's good for you. More power to you, man. Thanks, brother. That's really cool. So obviously we'll get to the Christmas song. We'll get to talk about Time Machine, you know, because we're all about the shameless plugs here on the Bob Culture Podcast. You guys know how it is. But how did you guys end up working together? Like, obviously you play in bands together and stuff, but how did you guys kind of come together and decide to work on a single together?
The scene around here, this sort of Jersey Shore scene is so close-knit and the circles intertwine so often that I've been in bands that Jimmy's heard of from 10, 15 years ago. Jimmy's been in bands that I've heard of 10, 15 years ago, and we knew of each other, and then we had met almost 10 years ago.
Yeah, probably through mutual friends. Mm-hmm. And just one of those things where we just kind of saw each other from that point on occasion.
Yeah. It was right? Meant to be.
Right. And we would see each other out at bars in Asbury. And the conversation was always like, oh, man, I'd love to work with you on something. And then it'd be like, oh, yeah. But then, like, it with the laws of the universe, just wouldn't happen yet.
Yeah.
And I remember joining Great Rock and Roll Time Machine in 2016. When it was still called Hair Metal Time Machine, we were in need of a guitar player. We had a day where we had two auditions. There was one guy who came in, auditioned first, and the second player was out in the lobby of our rehearsal studio. Our band leader, Davey Lister, says, all right, I'm going to go get Jimmy. And I am sitting inside thinking, like, I bet it's Jimmy Franklin. I bet Jimmy Franklin is about to walk in this room. Leather jacket and all, who comes walking in. My first reaction was anger. I was like, really? I was like, this fucking guy?
And we just immediately embraced.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I was like, he looked at me like, oh, it's you. And I looked at him like, oh, it's you.
Yeah. And
like in that, like in the lyrics of
Universes Collide.
Like in the lyrics of Escape by Rupert Holmes. And yeah, it was just like, oh, God. This is just a formality. Yeah.
And so he auditioned, absolutely kicked the crap out of it. It was amazing.
Nice.
And basically, the conversation then and there, almost, Dave and the whole band, they saw that I knew Jimmy, and they did not. And they were like, well, Brian, is he cool? Is he a good guy? And I'm like, yeah.
Like right in the audition, too.
Yeah. Take him. Sure. Right in front of you, yeah.
Yeah.
I had to look at Brian like, please just say yes. And that's exactly how that day went.
Yeah.
Exactly how that day went. And then from there on out, we had worked on the Time Machine show. We, at that point, were formerly produced by Rock of Ages.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Formerly. And they were then taking the show into their own hands and trying to run with it.
Right.
This whole new concept from going from a bar band to being a theater production. And I had played in the first incarnation of it. I suffered a bit of a back injury.
Oh, okay.
And yeah, I know, right? And now, and then I was out for a little bit. The next run of shows was coming up, and they asked if I wanted to come back. And I said, you know, of course. Came back, and not only that, but Brian and I got the chance to redesign the show.
Oh, cool! Yeah,
and we
a lot
turned
of theatrics
the whole,
to it.
Yeah, we turned the whole show into a radio concept, and we have now a radio DJ that comes on between the songs, announces different things. We have call-ins,
Brilliant.
We have interviews. Yeah, and it's a lot of fun, and they kind of play to the times because it's a full 70s, full 80s set.
Yeah, and so I don't usually like having bands on like before I see them, but I've seen you guys play in enough bands that you guys are going to come on. I would love to see Time Machine. I've seen a lot of the videos and stuff you guys put out. We'll definitely have to do an interview with the band down the line, but I got to see you guys play first. But I've seen a lot of stuff on the internet. For those who don't know, describe like the Time Machine, what you guys play, what you guys do, and the attire, the costumes and whatnot.
Oh, what costumes? That's just called clothes.
Oh, that's just, yeah. It looks awesome, and you guys are big time. You know, it looks like an awesome show.
Oh, it's so much fun. I mean, we do the full 70s, full 80s, full dress, exactly what you want to see, sights, sounds, smells, the whole nine yards.
Wow.
And we take it rather serious.
We do, yes, but the great thing is that we don't take ourselves or each other seriously.
Yes.
Or too seriously on stage. The show is what it is, and it became – we watch it transform from – a band just playing songs to a band with a theme, and how do we tie an essential theme to just arena rock hits from the 70s and 80s.
Right.
We had a host or an MC who was a person coming on between songs trying to be a hype guy. With a theater audience, it didn't work. It didn't connect. And we're okay. Like, wow, well, crap. Then we toyed around with the radio DJ idea where it was pre-recorded audio that we produced in between certain songs, and the stage would just go black. Then you're just kind of listening. You're not kind of forced into an applause position as an audience
right.
member with a hype guy on stage trying to hype you up. Your immediate reaction would be, it would be a deterrent almost.
Get out of my space.
Yeah, I get it.
And so Brian, one day, he came over, because we had this concept of the radio show, it wasn't anything yet. And I was like, Brian, I think I got an idea. Tell me if you like it. And I just read off all these ideas of how the show would kind of go. And he was like, I love it. And he came over the next day and we sat down and we recorded and wrote for only
3 hours.
3 hours. We recorded the entire show in 3 hours, not including the editing that I had to do afterwards to get the certain sound effects. But yeah. And we got the whole thing done. We presented it to the rest of the band members, and all of them were laughing and just having a great time with it.
Was the reaction that you guys wanted?
It was exactly what we wanted. Because
that's what you're going to get from the audience.
Dude,
yeah.
I wasn't even looking up when, because I get nervous when I'm showing a new. Yeah, we all
gosh.
Do. You know what it's like.
You know what? Don't get me started.
Yeah, so like I couldn't even look up. Man. Like I was just looking down the whole time. Like, and when I heard them laughing, my head shot up.
Yeah.
And I had this like I felt it on my face. I was smiling and I was like, oh, cool. This is working.
You know, it's not to get off topic, but it's so interesting. And the radio concept's brilliant. It always reminds me of like a Broadway, you know, kind of segue in a Broadway show or something. So that's
exactly
brilliant.
What
yeah.
we went for.
Ding ding ding. You sounds good. I gotta see you guys. But it's interesting to kind of see people like when they record stuff or go into the studio. I've been in the studio a lot lately. Like, Brian, you can jump in here, man. I don't know how you feel. Like, as far as like the drums, if I'm playing live or I'm writing something or I'm recording something, like to me, it's just like work. Like, I focus like back and forth. I got to be here. I got to be on the speed. I'm playing with a click. Like, it's mechanical. But like, obviously, there's feeling and passion and all that. You don't want things to sound too mechanical or like electronic drums or anything like that. So for me, it's like work. You know, I put on the headphones and I go. But for like singers and guitarists and stuff like that, there's like just so much feeling and emotion. And, you know, you can see how producers and myself like deal with people who are recording. And it's just interesting to see, like you say, you put out a new something, like you don't want to look up. You don't want to see how people react to it. It's just, I should do some sort of like psychoanalysis of like the recording process or something. It's just, it's really interesting to see how everyone responds to like recording and putting themselves out there. It's interesting.
It is. And it also, I think that comes with the environment that you recorded it in and the circumstances that you recorded it under. You know, for example, I had never recorded or produced anything up to that point.
Oh, well, there you go. Okay.
And I just downloaded GarageBand and got a good microphone. And I said, because I know the sound I'm looking for, mm-hmm. I can make it happen. It might take days. It might take weeks for me to get the sound, but I knew I would get it. And so I, you know, there's at one point we have an interview with Satan in the show. Satan comes up on the screen out of nowhere.
South Park.
Oh, my God. You have no idea.
South Park, too. Uh-huh. Yeah.
You have no idea. And so
I got to see this show.
Oh, yeah. And so, well, I knew that I wanted him to come in with thunder and lightning, and I knew the voice I wanted, and I got it, you know. And that was the tough part, is nice. Never having produced something. Mm-hmm. That's where I was nervous.
And were you doing like funny voices?
Oh, of course. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
All sorts
I get
of
it.
Things like
I get
that.
It. Okay.
So you're really putting yourself in a vulnerable position.
Yeah. You're putting yourself out there. You're just going for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Exactly. And not having any experience when, like, for example, we showed up one day and one of the guys was like, did you mix this really hot? And I was like, I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know what those words mean.
You know? No, I'm a drummer sitting here with a microphone. I get it,
yeah,
man.
Exactly.
Yeah, I get it.
And the same thing that we'll get into in a little bit, same thing happened with Show Me the Slay. when we recorded that, and we'll get into that in a bit. But
I'm excited. I'm excited.
Yeah. So
it's interesting, though.
It is. It is really interesting how you're just in such a vulnerable spot when you release something new, right?
It is. Yeah. How about for you, Brian? Man.
Yeah. It is. It can be soul crushing if you're with, let's say, if you're with a band and you release an album independently.
Yep.
And you know what went into it. No one else is going to know that. That's already one disadvantage. But like you prepare for that mentally, that like nobody knows what you went through to get this product together.
Yeah, true.
And then you put it out there and it just falls flat and you're like, hello, you're screaming into the world and like up at the sky, but like
yeah.
You're just not getting a response. So when it's music, that's one thing. If it's a bit of pre-recorded audio like this show narrative that the band leader and other band members trusted the two of us to come up with and to write, yeah, it's vulnerable, but I was already, see, I love making audio, producing audio,
nice,
with beds and sound effects and like all these cool things. And I trusted our writing of the show and our comedy and everything. So Jimmy might've been looking down. I was like, they're going to like this. I know.
Brian had a lot of confidence in this one. It was really nuts.
I mean, you guys just tell me about it. I'm getting amped. It's exciting.
I know. We're really good at talking it up now. It's, you know, we've talked about it so much. Hey. So we just make it sound so
shameless
good.
Shameless promo. who started the time? Like, who started the time machine? Whose idea was this to start this?
That was Davey.
Yeah. Davey Lister. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
No way. That's crazy. And that also has, I know some other people. Is it Chris from The Jam Room?
Yes.
Yeah, I know.
Chris Kaboom.
I know. A few of you guys. See, there's no excuse that I haven't seen you guys yet.
Well, they both started it together. They're OG, and they started it in 2007.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's been around forever. Mm-hmm. And Davey was touring as a guitar player for Pretty Boy Floyd.
Okay.
But in the 2000s, there was this whole 80s hair metal revivalist sort of thing. I mean, I was 15 seeing the Monsters of Rock tour, the revival tour.
Yeah, of course.
With Cinderella and Firehouse and Rat. And I'm like, oh, hell yeah, this is great.
Yeah.
Davey was touring with Pretty Boy Floyd, like the, you know, the bar circuits, I guess. He was doing national tours. And then he just wanted to amp it up and have a tribute at that time. That was a great time for it. Now it was okay, too. But he really picked the right time to get that sort of band together for it.
Yeah, and build the foundation for what we're able to do now in a way.
Yeah, it's good. Like I said, I've seen some of your guys' promo videos and stuff like that. It looks awesome, man. And the crowd looks like they're really into it, too. So.
It's a lot of fun. And guess who the radio announcer is in the show? I bet you'll never guess, right?
I have no idea.
You have no idea, right? Hey, give him that radio voice that you do, Brian.
Hey, it's Six String Stevie here from the Great Rock and Roll Time Machine.
Of course. Of course. Man, I should have known the answer to that.
Oh, man, right? I love it.
I've known this guy since he's at WMCX. You think I would have got that? I'm thinking it's going to be like some cartoon character or something.
Not even.
Of course it. Man, the myth, the legend, yeah, Mr. Brian Morelli.
We paid nobody for
yeah. You use the card you dealt, bro.
Hey, man, no, you guys got a great lineup. It's awesome. So we'll do some more shameless plugs for the Time Machine at the end of the podcast for sure. But right now, you guys decided to make a Christmas song. We'll talk about the recording process and all that. Obviously, it's that time of year. What made you guys go, hey, we want to do a Christmas song? And why Peter Frampton? And why Show Me the Sleigh? I just feel very unique choice, which extra points for. Very unique song. How did we get here?
Complete accident.
Accident.
Complete accident. I go to dinner every Tuesday night with my dad. And he was sitting there with me, and he always is curious about my music life. And he's
That's
always,
awesome.
He's always asking me a lot of questions about it, and he's kind of like, he was one of the people that was an advocate for the Holiday Express thing as well, for me to try and join that. And he had said to me, he goes, you know, that Peter Frampton song, Show Me the Way, he's like, it kind of sounds like a Christmas tune if you think about it. And he's got no musical background whatsoever. And then when you listen to the chords, it does have that 1 to minor 6.
Interesting.
That
okay.
is in a lot of Christmas songs. And I'm sitting there and like, it's your dad. So you're kind of, you know, like you're in between. So you're just kind of like,
no, I get it.
You're
kind
of just like, yeah, whatever. Yeah. You know, I guess like, you know, that little bit of teen angst you might still have. You're just like, yeah, maybe. And in that moment, I was like, yeah.
No way.
Maybe. And so I looked at him, I was like, you can't talk the rest of this dinner. And so we sat down and I was just writing the lyrics down on a napkin. And he's sitting there laughing because he's excited to
That's great.
That I was writing this. And we were talking back and forth while I was writing it. And I finished the lyrics that night and I called Brian. And his exact response was just, whoa.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Yeah.
So yeah, that was the night that that it all happened. Mm-hmm. And I called Brian that night. That was a Tuesday. The following Tuesday, we got together and arranged it.
Yeah.
And the Tuesday after that was our studio day.
That's awesome.
And it was all in October, so we were already severely behind to release a Christmas track.
Yeah, I get it, man. But, Brian, you're the first person he calls, man. That's pretty cool, you know? It's just like, who am I going to –
There's no one that I would rather have done this with.
Aww.
It's such a compliment, really. Even now, thinking about it, it's such a compliment that, hey, I need a co-collaborator. Brian, are you in? And I'm like, yeah, totally. I knew where I was going to go with it. So Jimmy being the writer of the song, I knew what I was going to do. Basically, in studio, I do a lot of arranging. I love that. I love arranging.
Good.
Yeah.
Right.
So I'm thinking I'm going to do the drum tracks. I'll learn bass for it. We don't have to bring anybody else in. And the biggest thing was, how am I going to approach keyboard tracks to make this a Christmassy sounding? A lot of strings, a lot of piano. There's synth in there. There's going to be organ in there. I'm thinking my keyboard has like the tubular bells. Like I'm going
that
to.
That was a huge one for us.
I noticed a lot of that.
Oh, yeah. That was one of them where him and I both like practically at the same time were like, tubular bells, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. Got to be there. Mm-hmm. And that's the funny thing is if you listen to that chord progression right there, you hear the way the bells go, bum, 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 bum. It sounds so Christmassy on the bells, but meanwhile on guitar, it sounds like Peter Frampton Show Me the Way.
Totally.
It's so crazy.
That's really fascinating.
It's really nuts how Christmassy it sounds, right?
I'm already amped, guys.
Well, and you know, that was the one of the big things that I'm just going to say before we get into it is that we're not British rock superstars. I don't know if you know that.
We're
not. I know we seem like it, but we're not British rock superstars. So our big thing was we don't know how to produce a British rock song and make it sound like we are British. So we kind of decided to not only make it a Christmas tune, but we wanted it to be a Jersey Shore Christmas tune.
Nice.
So instead of doing like the second half of the guitar solo, we added a saxophone solo, you know, and we genuinely, instead of trying to be something we weren't, we were just exactly who we were.
Yeah.
You know, who we are.
And being a big Springsteen fan myself, Steven Van Zandt did a lot of producing for Christmas songs that are very famous. All Alone on Christmas, Darlene Love. The whole band is the E Street Band. And Steven Van Zandt produced it. And that was my model.
Nice.
I used him. I was like, this is what we need to create. I showed him, I showed Jimmy All Alone on Christmas by Darlene Love. I'm like, look, this production, it's so thick. And that's Clarence. And that's
wow.
Roy Bittan. That like, and Steven Van Zandt produced it. So I'm like, all these strings, the sax, this is what it needs to be to make a Jersey Shore sounding tune that
that's
a lot
awesome.
Of people know and hear on the radio around this time to emulate that, I guess.
That's perfect. As we are just blocks away from E Street here. Exactly. I don't know if you guys went out there. Everyone's always taking their picture with the giant guitar over there at the library, man.
Yeah. Man.
I know, rock and roll. Hey, guys, I'm excited to hear it, man. Just having the origin story behind the song now is even better. So let's do it right now. Let's take a listen.
All right.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brian Morelli and Jimmy Franklin, Show Me the Sleigh.
Bye.
right, ladies and gentlemen, that was Show Me the Sleigh, of course, by my good buddies Brian Morelli and Jimmy Franklin. Awesome tune, just the concept with the Peter Frampton. Now, you guys can make fun of me here. I don't, what is it that he used? I want to say like a flanger or something. What is it he uses on the vocals and the guitar in a lot of his songs that you guys used here?
That is my favorite guitar effect of all time. It is the talk box.
The talk box, okay.
That's it. It runs the guitar signal. It's basically a tiny amplifier that's on the floor that your guitar plugs into, and it has a tube that goes up to your mouth.
Yeah, I've seen him use
it. And you put the tube
in
your mouth, and you manipulate the sound into the microphone.
Did you guys have one or recreate
it? Oh, of course I have one. Oh, yeah.
Of course. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, of course. No, are you kidding me? When I learned to play guitar, the next step to me was learn to play talkbox.
Yeah.
I love the sound of it. Oh, Rocky Mountain Way by Joe Walsh. That's where Peter Frampton got his talk box, was from him, and that's where things like Do You Feel Like We Do and Show Me the Way, and then, you know, all the way up to Godsmack. Weezer used it in Beverly Hills. There's a lot of great.
With you. That's right.
Yeah, it's wonderful. You know, there's so many great tunes with it. Bon Jovi.
Bon Jovi, of course. You got to mention all them great Jersey acts.
And actually, it was part of the reason I made the audition with the Time Machine. The guys even said in the audition, you know, part of this is because you came in here knowing how to play the talk box like Richie Sambora.
Yes.
So
that's really cool. Tell me a little bit about, now Jimmy was mentioning to me there was a very interesting recording process and all of this. Real quick before you tell me about the recording process, first, there's a saxophone player involved. Who's this?
Oh, it's a Zach Sandler. He plays sax with Bobby Mahoney in The Seventh Son.
Wow. I just had Bobby on a little while. Bobby.
I love when we tell people that.
Good. Besides you guys, one of the hardest working dudes on the scene playing he's every 2 days. Yeah. Great. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
No way. Zach plays with him. Zach works with Remember Jones. So Zach is around. He's everywhere. He's a young dude also.
Oh, yeah.
And he's lived like 1,000 lives.
Yeah.
he's everywhere. So Jimmy was like, dude, we need a sax player on this. And I'm like, I think I know somebody.
Of course you do.
I reached out to Zach. We kind of like third party know each other. And he was like, yeah, when and where? And I was like, oh my God, we got him.
No, that's good. That's what we got to do. Help each other out. Like, I like it when we all kind of like do our like little side projects and help each other. It's cool to see us kind of support each other, but we'll talk about that later. Go ahead, Jimmy.
But that's what it's all about. The point of all these songs, if I had a choice to record with a band or record with groups of different people, I would take the groups of different people any day. There's so much. It's so much more depth and how much more you learn and how much other people learn from you.
Yeah, totally.
You know, when you collide with other people like that, you know, hell, I'd record with someone I don't even like just to get their perspective on things, you know, understand a little bit deeper why I don't like them, you know? And I've been there. I've done that.
Like you said, you learn, man.
Well, but in this case, we had a great group. But the issue was in the recording.
Yes. How did this recording thing happen?
We had the most chaotic day. We only had one day to do it.
This was all in a day?
This is a day, bro. I told you, I wrote it on a Tuesday. The following Tuesday was Brian and I cutting together and arranging it. The Tuesday after that was studio time. The Tuesday after that was November.
Yeah.
So,
gotcha.
So we booked the studio time. I'm not going to name studio. I'm not going to name people. And that morning, Brian gets over to my house at about 9 o'clock to just last-minute touches, right, before we get in the studio. We're supposed to be in from 10 to 8 p.m.
Right. Now, I was going to do my stuff early because my full-time job is at a radio station. I have a night show. I have to be there at like 7 at night. So I'm like, oh, this is cool. I'll bang out all my stuff. I know exactly what I'm doing. Drums, bass, keyboards. I'll bolt.
Hardest working man in show business. Go ahead.
And then, just to bring you another level deeper, I was under the impression that we were going to this insanely close studio that had all the gear there. So I brought my truck in that morning to get worked on. So I didn't have a vehicle.
Nice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then I found out that my sister's car battery, because she's in school in Florida, I figured out that the car battery was dead as well. So any means of transportation, I was done. So we're going to a closed studio. Whatever. You know, I'll get all that stuff done later. You're in the studio. Nothing else matters. Well, 10 o'clock rolls around. We get a text. Hey, I'm going to have to push you back to 11. Okay, no problem. We still got 11 to 8. He better, you know, it better be till 8 or maybe 9, you know, who knows.
I think I see where this is going. Okay.
And then almost 11, we get a text saying, hey, I'm going to have to cancel today.
Oh, okay. Yep.
And I'm going to have to reschedule. I'm like, there is no reschedule. Like, when did you plan on rescheduling?
It's Jimmy Franklin, Brian Morelia. These are busy dudes.
Yeah. We only had one day.
Yeah,
like,
get
with,
it,
with
man.
Each other. Yeah,
with, yeah, even with each other. There was no shot of us getting. And not only that, but I think the guy that we were going to record with, the engineer, was going on his honeymoon for 2 weeks the next week.
Oh, boy.
What was your plan to, you know, to reschedule?
Maybe it was better off this way then. Who knows? But so what'd you guys end up doing?
It makes for a great story, let me tell you. We sat there in silence for a little bit.
He was pacing. Jimmy was pacing. Uh-oh. I thought there was going to be like a hole in his floor. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, man. And I know how I got in that situation. I was watching Brian watch me just go back and forth. And I picked up my phone and I was like, okay, you know what? I've done this before. I've been in states where shows gotten canceled and I've texted everyone on my phone to find a show. I'm going to do this again. I pull out my phone and I call every possible studio that I could think of to try and get in a place. I'm even calling the place that we were going to go to and seeing if I can get my own engineer to come in, and they weren't into that idea.
Yeah.
Eventually, my buddy Chris Everett, who used to have a studio in Eatontown, Sound Foundation Productions, and awesome dude, amazing engineer. I call him up. I know he doesn't have a studio anymore, but it was worth a shot. And so he answers in like two rings right away. What's up, Jimmy?
Nice.
And I just told him the situation, and he goes, listen, I could maybe bring you to where I work. And he works at the Strand Theater in Lakewood, and he manages that whole place. So
nice.
He brought us to the stage with the soundboard on the side of the stage, and we set up a makeshift studio with all the gear we could possibly get.
This is at the Strand?
Yeah.
On the stage.
On the stage at the Strand.
I have some good memories there, but so you recorded this song at the Strand.
We recorded this song on stage at the Strand Theater.
Even better.
With a completely makeshift studio, completely unorthodox. We were so tight on the arrangement, though, that because this is completely out of character for anyone involved, we're all rather professional, I'd like to think at least, but we had this buzzing that we accidentally recorded into Brian's keyboard tracks. All of them.
It happens.
It happens, especially in a makeshift studio like this. No joke. Brian re-recorded all of them again in half the time he got them done in the first place. You know what I mean?
There is a... When your life is in danger, you like have to spring into action. So with all the setbacks with the first studio falling and then us driving to Lakewood, I have to get my entire drum kit now.
I had to find every guitar I could possibly get, and I didn't even have an amp in my house that day.
Right.
Oh, boy.
So now we don't have a day to record. We have hours before I have to run to work for myself, you know? And so it was awesome. We had fun, but it was a very like, okay, like, here comes the task, you know.
That's right. So it just popped into my head. Did you record the drums on the stage of the Strand Theater?
Yes.
Anything with the echo, or did you use it to your advantage? Like, was there any issues with the just having such a big room?
No,
it worked. Yeah.
Chris was dialed in.
That's cool.
Chris is a monster.
He used the room to his advantage. Like, he knew how to work the room.
Yeah, that's like not a studio. That's a auditorium.
Yeah, 1,000 person theater, right? Something like that. Yeah.
We had played there. That's a special place in my heart because we opened for POD there. Sandy Relief show, and it was cool. We got to hang out with the band, and I got Max the set list after. It was just on the stage, and he got it signed by everyone. He got to hang out with the band. But my point is the sound on the stage. You know, sometimes like you play a show and you hit the bass drum and you're just like, whoa. Like, you know, we play a bunch of venues, not to knock anybody or anything, but we played at the Strand and the sound was just amazing. And, you know, my set was like in front of POD's set, you know, when you're they're up on the riser and you're down there. So I'm like, oh, it's going to sound it sounded amazing. Like just that room. So I don't
this
know if
no
you guys
different.
Had. Yeah, that's what
that
I'm saying.
That day, like, Brian,
that's
while,
awesome.
while we were setting up the drums, you know, Brian asked me to get behind the kit and play around so he could go out in the room.
I like this guy.
Yeah, it was really cool. And it just eased all the nerves. any other room we went into that day with any other person would have just probably made my anxiety worse.
Yeah.
Over the situation.
Yeah.
That I cared so much about getting this like kind of project done, you know? And it just, it was so much better to work with Chris, who just brought us in and was like, yeah, no problem. We got this.
That's cool.
You know, and
makes all the difference in the world when like your producer, whoever's recording you, like knows you. And it's because I've been through, I mean, you guys have probably recorded a million times. Sometimes you go in there and you're with someone who doesn't know you or your band and tries to make it different. The guy we're working with now is great. He's known us for years. He had us record together initially, which we never really do in a studio, but just our live performance is definitely our strength. Mm-hmm. So he catered to that. And it was really cool. I've been in studios where we'd record track by track and we'd go sit in the, you know, in the room with the desk and the console with the guy. And he's just typing on the computer, doesn't say a word, blah, 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 just editing. And it's like, it's not personal. It's not, you know, they don't know you.
And that's an important connection you got to have there. And I hear talk that you're actually working with Jeff right now.
Jeff. I can't say enough nice things about Jeff on several things. Yeah, we just put out the new music from Vection, shameless promo, with Vection. You know, the new stuff's coming out. That was all Jeff. He did a great job. Kate helped as well. And then we're doing the Bohemian Rhapsody project. We, you know, we're talking about working with different people.
Exactly.
Have 20 something people from some of your guys' bands, you know, like 20 something different people coming in. The vocals. Oh my gosh, the vocals on that song. That's where we are now. All the instruments are done, except for the gong, which I do have. It's coming together. And that's another thing where I want to promote the scene and, you know, Black Tooth Grin and all our bands and Rope Tree and everybody. Mm-hmm. In the scene, you know, all different styles of music too.
I want you to know that I didn't know that you were recording with Jeff.
Okay.
I saw a picture of Jeff's / Les Paul. Kate was holding that Les Paul, and I knew right away. And I was like, I only know one guy that owns that.
Yes.
and it's got to be Jeff. So Jeff, make sure Jeff hears this, because I want him to know that I knew the guitar and I knew whose it was.
Yeah. No, I'll be
one of my favorite things.
I'm interviewing. He might be next up on the podcast. Him and he's got another Christmas thing coming out too. So
cool.
Really cool. But yeah, Canyon, another great recording place too. If you guys are ever going through those like last minute phone numbers need a place down in Tom's River. Great job. Nice. But really, really cool. The track's awesome. I love the story with your dad and the concept, the recording process, the fact that it came to the Strand Theater, that holds a special place in my heart. That's so cool. Like just recording there. So I'm sure all the stress went away eventually. And
yeah, when we got the mix.
Yeah. It sounds great. It sounds great.
Yeah. It was unreal.
If anybody from my job hears this, they're not going to like it, but I raced from Lakewood to where my radio station is because I like had to get to work, and I am doing like, I think my average speed was 90. I was flying.
Yeah. Hardest working man in show business.
I ran into the radio station. I had 12 seconds before my first talk break.
Yeah.
Flipped it on, did it, and I texted Jimmy. I was like, I made it.
You know what? It's funny. When I was talking to Jimmy about scheduling the podcast, I said, look, dude, I know Brian is a very busy man. Like, so you let me know what's good for you. And we made it work. It's awesome, man. But it's like I said, when you kind of overextend yourself and work on these projects, it's exhausting. It's hard to be everywhere at once. But the payout is totally worth it, man. It's
1,000%.
All right, let's get to – this is always the tricky question on the podcast. You guys can be politically correct or say whatever you want to say. You can be unfiltered. I know, man. But let's first talk about the state of the local music scene. You know, all these local bands. We're in this Asbury Park area and beyond. What do you guys think about this? Not so much – we'll talk about rock music in a little bit specifically just in general. But what do you guys think about the scene right now? Is it – hurting? Is it oversaturated? Are we having issues with promoters or selling tickets? Are we happy? What do we think about the scene? I know this is always the tough question.
I know the all the questions were easy until you said, are we happy? That was the hardest one.
That was the hardest one.
Man, go ahead.
We're oversaturated. Okay. We are. I love the Jersey Shore scene. I really do, but we are oversaturated. How does anybody break through? Really, when you have the right connections, you break through, and I love that, because then it forces you to network. I am not gonna I'm not gonna sit here and be against the whole who you know thing, because who you know is a great thing.
You know the business too.
Make the right friends and make the right connections, and it forces you to network and it forces you to promote yourself. And I think that that's a challenge for every musician, every band, and everything.
Industry also.
Yeah.
Really.
Exactly. So you either sink or you swim, but it's how you handle that. So if a band is floundering and they point fingers at the scene, I can't jive with that. I really can't.
That's interesting. Yeah.
It's what you make of it. And maybe, you know what? Maybe it's not Asbury Park. Like, Asbury Park isn't really the scene for metal. So when I was in Johnny B. Morbid, I was like, you know what? We've done some Asbury Park things. We had a great gig. More than a few great gigs at the Stone Pony. Mm-hmm. But you know what? On a regular night, on a regular Saturday, it's not for Johnny B. Morbid. Let's go to Tom's River. Let's go to Pennsylvania. Let's break out of New Jersey. Let's do that. Morningside Lane is a rock band. We've done Asbury Park. We're starting to make the connections there. We're making friends. And that's a good thing. Mm-hmm. Making friends is a good thing. So with an oversaturated market, which, again, I don't like that it's oversaturated, but you have to deal with it.
That's a great perspective, man, coming from you, because, you know, you're on both sides of it as a performer and as someone kind of somewhat involved with the business. I like that you're saying, like, hey, it kind of is about who you know. Like, most people won't say that. That's interesting. And I'm starting to learn about networking and all that stuff, kind of getting into the business a little bit myself. So that's a great answer, man. That was
thanks, man.
Very fascinating. Go ahead. All right.
It's okay. I mean, yeah, go.
It's, yeah. I know. He's I think Jimmy's just like kind of filtering his thoughts right now, being careful what he says on the mic here.
There's a lot of things I have to say. I love music, but more than anything in my life is I love entertainment. I consider myself an entertainer first, and I've gotten the opportunity to put on some great shows with great people, put together some great shows again with great people. I think people rely too much. They rely too much on blaming the promoter. They rely too much on blaming the scene. I believe in a lot of ways they rely too much on blaming other people instead of blaming themselves for not always putting out a top quality product.
Okay.
Now, that's tough to say because it's completely subjective.
No, I get it. So you're talking quality. Yep.
Yeah, I'm talking about just putting out a quality piece of entertainment, going out and hustling and really doing it.
True, true, true.
Like, I can't tell you how many shows, Big Tom and the Guns, the last five shows we've played, we've sold out every venue.
Oh, yeah?
We've sold out every venue. We were at the Wonder Bar, and the headlining band was Tragedy, and they had less people there than we did. They were denying people at the door. I'm not saying that we have a better product than anyone else. I'm saying that we've cared really deeply about it. And not only that, but we were outside scalping tickets to our own show on the boardwalk until we had to go on. No one else is doing that. No one else is...
Yeah, putting in the work.
You know what I mean? No one else is sitting there until the last second thinking, what can we do to make sure we get people in here and that they're fully entertained? You know, how many people can we bring in and how do we guarantee that their ticket's worth it? You know, that's one thing that I just haven't seen enough of.
I gotcha.
It bothers me to say it, but I'm now on record and I will not take it back.
Okay. No, you know what? It's interesting because I ask that question pretty much to every band I have in, and the answers always intrigue me. Like a guy like Bobby Mahoney kind of looks at it from both perspectives. He looks at it from like the band side and the promoter side. You guys are kind of just like, hey, like, you got to network. You got to put in the work. I like that. You guys aren't really complaining so much. Not to say other people are complaining, but it's interesting just all the different answers I get. So you guys have had some success, and you're putting in the work. You guys are doing a great job. So that was a good answer. All right. Now here's another tricky one for you guys. Mm-hmm. Lots of opinions. Times are changing. The pop music out there is changing. So this goes into national acts and stuff like that as well. What do you guys think about the state of rock music right now?
It sucks.
Build a better product.
Yeah. Okay. So back to your other answer. Yeah.
You know. Yeah. It's really rough. It's really rough. I don't think it's dead. I don't think that it's in jeopardy of really dying.
Mm-hmm.
But it does come down. It does come down to building a better. I think it's just building a better product. That's all it comes down to for me.
Yeah, active rock is the weakest format, I think. Again, totally subjective. There's always going to be a market for it. There's always going to be a fan base for it. But when you know people really rag on top 40 and pop music as being totally, you know, cookie cutter and filtered and lacking of substance, but rock, active rock right now, it is that as well. It's overproduced and lacking in actual meat as far as a song goes.
Yeah. You guys are crushing it with these answers.
Well, let me bring it to another thing that your listeners and you would definitely understand. Let's talk about WWE.
Oh, don't get me started. We can go.
Exactly. Yeah. Think about what their product is. It's sterile in a lot of ways. It's not the WWE, the electrifying show it used to be, right? And I'm a huge wrestling fan. But if you go to the independent circuit, there's all these guys being so creative in not only their moves, but their characters and the shows that they're putting on. They have all this creative liberty that they can exercise and put out for themselves. And they're becoming some of the biggest. For the love of God, Joey Janela, which if he ever hears this is Asbury Park. So happy. Yeah, is from Asbury Park. Mm. He's now in what wrestling magazine? The biggest wrestling magazine.
Pro Wrestling Illustrated, PWI.
First one. So they have the top wrestlers of the year every year.
Oh, yeah.
Stone Cold Steve Austin was in that in the 90s, right?
Yep.
Joey Janela is an independent wrestler, no affiliation with WWE whatsoever, and he's in that magazine right now.
Yeah, that's crazy.
He has a creative liberty, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like you said about working with other people, I sat with my old band Hollander. We sat in a record label executive at Atlantic Records.
Oh, cool.
In his office when we were 15 years old. I was 15 at least. And he didn't like our record, and we had recorded it ourselves. I'm seeing a pattern here. You know? We built a studio in Cameron's attic, and we recorded it ourselves. And and we just wrote what we felt. So we have a reggae song on there. We had a metal song on there. And there was no consistency throughout it. But all the songs were by themselves really great. But there was no way for him to market the album. That's why you get an album of all the same songs being put out, you know, with one single. It's just like a WWE kind of big box, just, you know, build a character and put it out, build a record, put it out, and it lacks substance.
Yeah, that's interesting. What you guys are saying about like substance, like back to what you were saying as well, Brian, like you guys think about it, like you think about like what are the big national rock acts right now? Foo Fighters comes to mind. Yeah,
definitely.
Muse.
Yeah.
I'm talking more, you know, not like guys have been around forever, like Aerosmith and all that. I'm talking more new stuff that's coming out. Greta Van Fleet, again.
I knew that name was coming.
Yeah,
I knew it was coming.
You know, who's like, not to say anyone's going to be a Freddie Mercury, but who's our Freddie Mercury? Who's our John Bonham right now? You know, you see a lot of these bands that are great, but they kind of recreate, you know, the old, you know, a lot of Led Zeppelin relations with Greta Van Fleet and such like that.
But that's going back to that old product that it's just put the album out, go on the tour, get on MTV. Meanwhile, there's so many other ways to exercise your creativity. You know, like just like these independent wrestlers going out and going to different promotions and working with different people, you can do the same thing as a musician like us and play with different types of people, learn different styles, and put it out there. And I think that's overall I think that's kind of what it's gearing towards right now, as opposed to, you know, obviously the album thing, put out an album of all the songs that sound the same.
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
You know,
yeah.
As opposed to that, you know, you get to exercise your creativity a little more.
That's fascinating. You guys got really good answers.
We've spent a lot of time talking about this, and we've spent a lot of time thinking about it.
Even before we started recording, we had a nice conversation. We'll have to get together again. Max, you know, guys know Max, my bass player.
Yeah, of course.
I guess he's my friend, too. No, I'm just kidding.
No, he's a bass player.
No, he's my man. He's my dude, man. I'm going to be his groomsman. I'm excited.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome.
Oh, yeah, it's so cool. I know. I was so happy. But basically, he had said, you know, we were talking about the rock situation, and he had said he thinks it's going to kind of become like an underground cool thing again before it like makes its way back to like the forefront. And I thought that was an interesting.
Oh, you mean like wrestling?
Yeah.
Oh, it's kind of interesting.
Yeah. No, I thought that was a good take on it. All right, guys. Well, I think that's pretty much everything. Some great answers. Great conversing with you gentlemen. We should definitely do it again. I know you guys are very busy. I appreciate a few minutes. Real quick, we got to get the shameless plugs in there. Where can we find Rock and Roll Time Machine? Where can we find your guys? Show me the sleigh. Give me some websites. Give me some Twitters. What do you guys got?
Brian, give me the Time Machine's website.
Okay, it's rnrtimemachine.com. That's where you can find everything. And right now we're working on doing live band karaoke.
Oh, what?
At bars? Yeah.
Like around here?
Oh, yeah, man.
Like we've got, like Belmar Asbury?
Yeah, we've already got, I think, 5 shows booked into the new year, and we're just going to keep going, hopefully get
Bar
every,
A?
Yeah, we're going to we're gonna be going everywhere that wants it right now.
I'm not going to sing, but, Kate will come. I'll be there and support you guys.
It'll be a great time, man. It's going to be awesome.
That's awesome.
We're doing that. You could find Big Tom and the Guns Facebook page. That's really it. And their Instagram. But you can find, if you type in Big Tom and the Guns on Google, you'll find a lot of great hate messages and hate mail about Big Tom and the Guns.
Oh, yeah.
It's great. Yeah. Metal Sucks picked it up and it was awesome. What else? You can find Show Me the Sleigh pretty much everywhere in the world. I'm pretty sure everywhere in the world. If you go to iTunes, iTunes, YouTube, what are the other ones? Spotify, Amazon. It's on all there. And then there's a bunch of music stores that it's released on that I haven't even heard of in other parts of the world. If you're by an Amazon Echo right now, you can say, Alexa, play Show Me the Sleigh by Jimmy Franklin.
Sometimes it works. Yeah.
This one didn't work.
I unplug it when we do the podcast because she jumps in. If you say, you know, we're talking wrestling, you say Alexa Bliss.
I'm really hoping that someone's Alexa just went off right now.
There you go. Yeah, you just did it again. Oh man. All right, guys, I'm feeling that holiday spirit already. Guys, thanks for coming on. Thanks for muting us. Happy holidays, everybody. We're out. Peace. Hey guys, thanks for checking out this episode of the Bob Culture Podcast. Don't forget to support the show on patreon.com/Bob Culture Podcast for some great incentives. I'd like to give a shout out to my patrons J. Crow, Shannon Kruz, and of course Mike and Michelle Vermillion from Sledgepad Innovations. Sledgepad is the bass drum dampening system used by national acts like Pink, Goo Goo Dolls, Cher, Collective Soul, and a whole bunch more. Check them out at sledgepad.com. And of course, if you're a fan of the show, please subscribe on YouTube, check us out at podbean.com, and leave me a review at iTunes.